My name's John O'Bacon.
My name's Stuart Langridge.
And this is
Shot of Jack.
Some time ago, when I got my Nexus One Android phone from Google, I was like many, spending many an evening laid in bed downloading every application I could find from the Android market. I installed all manner of harmless fun and games, quirky applications, novelties, and fitness tools I would ultimately never use. And then I spotted something both fascinating and slightly concerning too. Sex offender search. The idea is simple. Here in the US, the database of sex offenders is publicly available, and therefore anyone can use it in an application. And thus someone did, producing an Android app that uses your GPS to show you a local map, plotting registered sex offenders on the map, and allowing you to tap an entry on that map to not only show you the offender's name, but also their address, what they were charged with, and even a picture. Basically everything an angry villager would need to light a pitchfork and cause havoc. It all reminded me of the brouhaha in the 90s in England when a national newspaper decided to publish the home addresses of some sex offenders, and it caused all manner of local skirmishes and violence, even going as far as some members of the illiterate underbelly of our great nation giving paediatricians abuse by mistake. So the question is this really okay? Look, we're all in raging agreement that prevention is important in managing paedophilia. But on the flip side, is freedom of information combined with technological innovation and simplicity actually putting people and families at risk?
When this happened in the 90s, the newspaper in the UK was the News of the World. And there was, as John says, a huge brouhaha about it when they published names and addresses of sex offenders. And there was this massive ethical debate about whether it was a good idea and whether exposing that information to the public in such a high-profile forum was the right way. The thing that we're talking about here is not necessarily the basic ethics of it. It's, does the current technology that we have make it even more of a problem? I mean, yes, the data is publicly available. It's always been publicly available. The News of the World in the 90s and the people building the application today are not making available anything that wasn't available before. If you want to go and chase down a list of sex offenders in your local area, then you can do that yourself. No, nobody is stopping you doing that. That information is available. The key thing is now it's two clicks away on your Android phone.
No, I think that's the key thing is that arguably beforehand, before you had applications such as the sex offender search on Android, if you wanted to find that list of names, you'd probably need to know A, that that list is available, and B, know where to find it, which would probably make you somebody who's interested in the topic more than most people would be. But I think I'm a good example of this. I installed that thing purely out of morbid curiosity. I was like, oh, I wonder which sex offenders live near me. But there are going to be some people who are going to download that app and they're going to see those sex offenders and then be surprised that they can see the photo and the address and all the rest of it. And they're going to go and burn someone's house down. And the thing that concerns me a little bit is in most houses, you don't just have a sex offender living, but you also have a family and neighbours and dogs and cats and whatever else. It's not just sex offenders. Some people will be of the view, you know what, they committed a crime, therefore screw them, they deserve it. And that's a topic for another show. But it's not just these people that are going to be affected by this. So I'm kind of in, I don't really know what to think, because on one hand, I think freedom of information is wonderful, and I like the fact that this information is available. But also, I think that technology is bringing together consequences which we originally didn't envisage. And they may cause things that we don't want to happen.
There is precisely that point to be borne in mind. It's very easy to see yourself as fighting the power and say information ought to be free and freedom of speech is a good idea. And lots of people believe that. I believe that. And I stick with it. But there are consequences to that thought. It's not just a case of you say information ought to be free and the government suppresses things because they're the government and they're evil. There are genuinely issues with the idea of freedom, right? I mean, no one said freedom was going to be nice. And if you're going to push for the idea that information ought to be available to anyone who's got the technology, then you have to be prepared for the consequences of those actions. Exactly as you say there, you know, maybe you say, fuck them. that's what happens, you know. people need to be protected. But the fact that the technology makes it much more available to the thing that people were interested about when the newspaper published the list was not that the list wasn't public before, because it was. It's precisely, you say, that it elevated it to a much more high-profile forum. And essentially, making an app available in the Android market is precisely the same thing. It makes available to people who wouldn't know where to look for the list,
exactly.
Wouldn't think to check for the list. But while you're browsing through trying to find your favourite Wikipedia browsing application, you hit this and think, okay. And then you find out that some guy who you might have run into in the cafe down the road is actually a child abuser.
Yeah, and the thing is as well, so there's a couple of things here as well, is that the sex offenders register as well. I was originally thinking that the only people that will be on there would be people who, you know, physically abused a kid. But it seems to span a wide variety of crimes, and everything from, the lighter side of things is, for example, somebody flashing a 14-year-old girl, and it goes right up to, you know, somebody who really brutally rapes somebody. So there's a wide spectrum. But I think in the eye of many people, they're all the same. They're all some kind of indecency towards, you know, kids. And this app would arguably lump people into the same bucket. A good example was with a News of the World thing was this guy called Michael Horgan, who was 55. And he was mistakenly targeted by protesters as being a paedophile, to the point whereby, you know, he at the time he was living under 24/7 police, you know, kind of support. People, you know, he had police officers in his house because people had threatened to go around and burn his house down. And this guy was completely innocent, and it's like, that's costing the taxpayer, and it just worries me that these kinds of apps, while they will serve a good need, because, you know, if I'm a parent and I have a kid and I find out that my neighbour is actually somebody who's flashed a kid or abused a child, I don't want my kid to be in front of them. So it's a good thing, but I also don't want, you know, experiences like what happened to Michael Horgan happening.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously the issue of people who are incorrectly on the list. And I think everyone would agree that that's a problem. And the process which creates the list needs to be more rigorously checked than it is. But the key point about this, I think, is what the technology brings that it wouldn't have done otherwise. It's now trivially easy for one person to build an application which then makes this information available to so many more people. And we've had very much the same kind of thing in computer security, in the sense that if someone comes up with an exploit, it can be quite hard to actually use. But as soon as one script kiddie turns it into a push-button application, suddenly everyone can go and remotely own copies of IIS or something. And exactly the same discussion has come up in that community of taking information that wouldn't be available to ordinary people precisely because it's well hidden or obscure, and then... Yep. And then making it available to everybody. I mean, you can make a case for saying that someone building an Android application to do this is just taking information that's there anyway and just packaging it up in a more friendly form. But this is it ties into a huge, longer ethical debate about the power of things like science and so on. I saw someone describe once about how people who are karate black belts tend not to get into fights where they kill someone in a pub fight, because they've gone through these years of learning the skills, and that has taught them restraint with the skills, where anyone who picks up a 45 has the power to kill someone in a pub fight without having to go through the period of discipline required to learn it. I don't want to turn this into a gun control debate, but this is exactly the same kind of issue.
Yeah, and it's a good point. I think the thing is as well is that, you know, one of the things that technology is wonderful for is stringing things together. Like when we talk about APIs, you know, like you can have your data in a blog and pull it out with an API and put it into something else and pull it out with an API and all the rest of it. And data interchange is wonderful. And I think what we're starting to see now is we've got all kinds of different pieces of data from all over the world. People's addresses and the sex offenders thing and, you know, there's information about people's employment, whatever else, all over the place. And then you've got location-aware devices and commonality of APIs. So what we're starting to see now is a combination of things that were not originally envisaged when the each original silo of data was put online.
Yeah,
and that, I think, is the concern.
Yes, there's... The US Defense Department tried to create a category of information called sensitive but unclassified. This is back in the 80s, where each individual piece of data wasn't itself anything secret and classified. But if you got four or five of them and strung them together, you could derive some classified information from the combination of them. I mean, the idea never really took off, and partially because it was seen as the government just wanted to classify more stuff to keep it secret from the public, which is a perfectly legitimate way of looking at it. But there is this issue of what you can get when you start to tie a lot of this data together. And I don't think either of us would be saying, oh, we need to call for restraint in the people who make Android apps. But it does open your eyes to the fact that we're building a brand new world where when people complain about things like Facebook privacy and so on, I'm starting to think we basically need to adjust to a world where almost everything you do becomes public. You know, we're readjusting the psyche of people participating in the world, especially people participating through technology on the internet, to a world where you have to start dealing with the fact that basically what you do is public and people know what's going on.
Absolutely. Well, you know what? So what we think, it's a big topic. There's lots to discuss. There's lots of really interesting discussion around privacy, information, technology, the internet, all kinds of stuff. So that's what we think. We really haven't come to our own conclusions about this. We're really on the fence. But what do you think? You need to go to shotofjack.org where you heard this shot and leave your comments right there.
You can get in touch with us on Twitter or Identica by going to shotofjack.org/discuss. So give us your thoughts on what you think about all of these issues. Send us some email about if there's particular things you'd like us to pick up on and discuss in future shots. Let us know, shotofjack.org/discuss.
And we'll see you on the next Shot of Jack.